Welcome to the War Report on Public Education. The future of education is an important concern for our time. Where it's heading, how it's evolving, and the influence corporate America has on its outcome. The War Report on Public Education provides critical news, analysis, and perspectives on the what, why, who, where, when, and how of both the new corporate state elites campaign, the Machiavellian agenda to destroy the nation's public education system, and the rising public resistance movement to defend and defeat this Machiavellian agenda. And now, here is our host, Dr. James Abington Miller, Jr.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition to the War Report. And as you already know, happy holidays to everyone. And for the umpteenth time in the War Report history, we are broadcasting on a holiday or a holiday weekend. I don't know what I was thinking when I said we would do the show on a Sunday like 3.5 years ago, but that always means that you never know who is going to be around to listen to the show versus out enjoying the holiday, the time off, or time with friends and what have you. But we're here and ready to go. This week, I'm going to talk more about the teacher as a new individual, a new persona, a new outlook on being a teacher, what it means to be a teacher in the 21st century in the face of a war that is destined, if they succeed, to destroy public education, public schools, teaching profession, the whole nine yards. And what kind of teacher do we need in order to face this crisis, this threat, and take it on and have at least a shot at stopping the forces that are out to get us, and even possibly a shot at destroying them, and not only saving public education as a public good, but being able to use this crisis, and this is where we're going today, be able to use this crisis to not only save ourselves, but to come out as a recognized leader whose interest is to help preserve, help protect, and advance humanity in a positive way, the planet in a positive way. That's a pretty big statement, but it's a big opportunity in face of a huge crisis. And so that's what we're going to try and deal with today. And it never ceases to amaze me. I said earlier that we picked Sunday as the day to do the show, and all the holidays that fall on a Sunday, or that three-day weekend that Nixon created long, long time ago for the working class, and to do a series and have the most maybe crucial show fall on a holiday. You work all these the weeks, and boom, the punchline is falls on a holiday. Interesting, to say the least. Let me sort of like go over some of the things that we've talked about, not only in this past month, the three shows that we've done, but things that I've been saying for 3.5 years. You may remember some of it when you hear me mention them today. For those who are new to War Report, these are things that I've been saying that are related to this whole teacher appreciation. Well, I'm advocating that teachers can be, must be, the ones to lead us. When I say us, I'm talking about other teachers, parents, students, everyone, to help lead us in our struggle to survive in a form similar to what we have known versus what is in store for us as relates to what is going to happen to us if we lose this war. Going back to, you know, the first couple of years when I talked about the new Reich, the new corporate state, financial, philanthropic, power elite, and their minions, Machiavellian agenda, and that agenda was the privatization of everyone and everything, humanity and the planet. But within that agenda was those who survived the onslaught that were left. That would be the goal of remaking us in the corporate image to serve the corporate interest, the corporate need, and that this reshaping would affect all of our aspect of life. Who we are, how we see ourselves, how we see other people, our relationship, family relationship, friends, everything would be aimed at selecting people who would enhance our individual ability to better serve the new corporate state interests. I know I just said a whole lot, and if you haven't been here before, this may be going over your head, and I'm not saying that disparagingly, but that's what I'm trying to get at right now, is that this war on public education, as I've said a thousand times, is just a subset of a larger war. That larger war that has the same agenda that the war that they're waging on us, the subset. And so that is imperative. It's paramount that we become aware of the war, why we're being warred upon, because if we don't, then we cannot become the teacher that I mentioned last week, the new 21st century social justice teacher. And that's what today's show is about, is how we can become that teacher. Let me start off by reminding you of something that I've said over and over again, and that is, unless you, I, everyone, was raised in a tradition of a social justice, advocacy, activism environment, being your family, your community, I don't know, your church, whatever, you don't have the perception, you don't have the motivation to become a change agent. That's not necessarily something that we're all born with, but it's something that I would say a little later on that we're all capable of, is becoming a leader, becoming a change agent. And I've said that because if you're not raised in such environment, when you go to college, you don't get a change of environment per se, where your freshman through your senior year, even into graduate school, you are train to become aware and understand your role to be that of a leader, a change agent, instead, what it is your role becomes that of a person who is going to reproduce the status quo. So you come out of school, if you go into a teacher prep program, work on a credential, work on a master's / credential, you most likely, in all likelihood, you're not going to get that you, teacher, can be, should be, must be, come a change agent. Instead, you will be, you have to be, a person who will perpetuate the status quo. Two very different perception of who you are and what you're supposed to do. If you grow up in a family where there is a tradition of activism, and of course by that, that could mean anything. You could grow up to be one of the greatest person advocating for equality, or you could grow up being a person advocating for status quo. But at least you would have some type of tradition that you can work from. What I'm getting to is that to become this 21st century, the new teacher of the 21st century, the social justice teacher, for most teachers, and when I say teacher, I'm using this generically, most people who become teachers, what have you, I believe you have to undergo a reimagining of yourself and what it is to be a teacher. Because of what I just said a moment ago, you were never trained, were never exposed to the tradition of you, the individual, being a social justice advocate, a social justice activist. I mentioned last week something that I always mention. The traditional teacher of the last 40, 50, 100 years, the mentality was, just let me teach. Let me go into my room, close the door, and let me teach. Let me teach the ABCs, the 1, 2, 3s, and that's what I'm here to do. That's what I want to do. And as long as you're letting me do that, I'm happy. As long as you let me close my door, and if any way possible, use my creative energy to teach the most effective way I know how to teach, I'm happy. What's happening in the outside world, what's happening outside of my classroom, maybe what's happening outside of my school, yeah, it may affect my students because they come from that outside of the school into that outside of the bigger community, and I have to deal with that. But me as a teacher, I don't have to deal with anything beyond just letting me teach. So that in order to be able to make a transition, I'm saying you got to reimagine yourself as an individual and as a teacher. You know, how do you see yourself? And the question can become, you know, can you be a leader? are you a leader naturally? Or can you become a leader? And reimagining yourself, can that new image of self embrace you and your profession as something that you can lead? There was, I'm saying that if you do this self-examination and if you do this process of reimagining yourself, a good question comes, you know, are you going to lead or are you going to follow? Or are you going to be one of those people who just get out of the way and let whatever's going to happen, you know, happen? You know, are you going to do something or nothing? In today's environment, that's a critical question. Are you going to do something or are you going to do nothing? I will argue too many teachers opt to do the nothing as opposed to opting to become leaders or even become followers of leaders, or become part of the troop, part of the army. And that's critical. Remember, and I've talked about this many, 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 many times, the theory of the 3.5%. That goes something that if you get something like this, if you get 3.5% of the population to get engaged in a social and nonviolent social movement, that history shows that those people who can get 3.5% of their population engaged in a nonviolent social movement have a higher record of achieving their objectives than those movements that use violence and violent confrontation to seek to achieve their objective. 3.5%. And I've always said, when you look at the American population 2016, 2015, when we have something over 315 million people, and you know, I'm using just numbers here. I know there's people who don't vote, that's underage, what have you, la 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 la. But you're only talking about 3.5%. You're talking about 9 to 10, a little over 10 million people. Bringing that number into the movement to bring about desired social change. And I said, even if you bump that up from 3.5% to 15%, you're still only talking about less than 15 million people out of 350 million. And I go on to say that teachers, and I probably said some of this last week as well, especially those teachers who have been teaching for a number of years, how many students have you taught in 10 years or 15 years? And don't say 20, 25 years you've been teaching. And of those that you've taught, can you reach out and get 10 of those former students or former students and their parents to join in a movement that you are advocating for, you're an activist for, and you may even be a leader at some level for? I also say, if you're a teacher, about a parent or parents, brothers, sisters, aunt, uncle, cousin, friends that you grew up with, neighbors, can you reach out to 10 or more? And if most of our teachers especially when we have supposedly something around 10 million teachers. If most of them, half of them, a quarter, a third, would have taken that leadership position, we could have raised an army far exceeding 10, 15 million people. And especially if these people are voting age. This is kind of what I'm talking about in terms of the teacher as a social justice teacher, the teacher of hopefully present day and for sure for tomorrow, if we have a tomorrow. I'm saying that for many teachers, if not most, I'm talking about you changing your role in life. You're not just a teacher going in at 8, getting off at 3. You are a person, a potential person, who could become a leader, who can inspire others to your cause, to our cause, to humanity's cause. You are a person who can get other teachers, let's say students, communities, to rally around an issue of great importance. But you can only do this if you're not already there, unless you reimagine yourself and the role that you play as a human being and as a teacher. Now, when I talked last week, I did get some feedback from some people, and they were saying, well, you know, how do we do this? And whenever that happens, that always, so I'm laughing here because when I was learning to become a professor, my thing was I was to see the problems, being able to, one, being aware, to understand, do my research, and to clarify, and to come up with as best I possibly can the truth of the issue, and then to communicate that. I think it was 2010 when I started talking to people about the Machiavellian agenda and the war on public education. Those who would listen to me when I was finished, almost to a person, they would say, well, what's the solution? I mean, this is across the board. Everyone, what's the solution? And I'm thinking, I just told you the most pressing problem in your life, in your children's life, in grandchildren's life. I just made you aware of this. And all you can say to me is, dude, what's the solution? It wasn't enough that I was giving them a definition of a problem. That was worthless. It was the solution. That blew my mind and still does. So in response to, you know, the people who have asked me a solution, even before last week's show, I realized that what I'm saying here is a lot. First of all, as you already know, change, social change, is very hard to do. Especially when there's emotion involved, long history involved, and et cetera. So, the first part is reimagining yourself and what's your role as a teacher. And as you can see, some continuity between self and teacher as it relates to serving in the public interest and the public good, that's what I'm aiming for. Because we as teachers, that's what we do. We serve. We serve in supposedly, maybe theoretically, the public interest, not the private interest of greedy people, power-hungry people, violent, vicious people. We supposedly serve in, you know, the humanity sort of thing. Second, I'm not giving these like in numeral order sort of thing, but a second thing, I think, if you're looking for some type of answer from me, is that you have to discover the leadership within. Are you a leader? Which goes back to what I have been talking about. Are you a leader? Is this such thing as leaders are born, not made? And if leaders are born, then were you born to be a leader? That's a self-assessment. Do you want to be a leader? And if the leaders are made, then how can you become a leader if that's what you want to do in that reimagining yourself? Because what I'm saying here, you may have to shed part of your self in terms of self-interest, self-perception, self-motivation, and et cetera. You may have to become that person who is willing to share yourself, put yourself on a line with others to seek what we are always referred to as social justice, not only for yourself, but for others. That's hard. And you can do it, some people, on your own. You can maybe do it if you join a group or if you take leadership training. And I'm sure teachers, and I keep saying teachers, hopefully there are parents out there too, but I'm envisioning that most of the audience are teachers / parents and or just parents, and then there's the interested others. But teachers, you know, there are a kajillion books on educational leadership. Every school has now a master's program on educational leadership. They're creating these programs and institute and training seminars and workshop like crazy. You may want to, or you may need to go to one of those programs to see if you are a leader or can be a leader or you even want to be a leader. There are community organizations everywhere that will have leadership training. They may call it community organizers. They may call it something different. But what they're trying to do is to, quote, you know, organize individuals within the community to become a group and to provide some type of guidance in this process of becoming aware and understanding and emotionally engaged and then taking action, both as an individual and as a part of a group. Certainly, there are groups in almost everyone's community that will provide you an opportunity to become a leader or become a follower in the cause, whatever that cause is. Hopefully, for me, it's a social justice cause. And part of the title for this, you know, series that the last 2 weeks have been, you know, Dare the Teacher, Help Build a Better World. That word, dare, it's a challenge. It's also a call to action. But for some, it's a huge, huge, huge challenge. When I started the War Report, and then when I went out on the People's Story back in 2015, I reported on this many, many times. I found so many teachers. They were being crushed. Their health was being affected. Their self-image, self-worth was being crushed, that they were no longer effective teachers. They were inadequate. They need to undergo reevaluation and retraining to bring them up to, quote, some notion of effective. People who have been teaching for years and years who were considered outstanding teachers, all of a sudden, under this new paradigm, they're ineffective. And how devastating it was. But what also was underlying all of what I've been talking about was this fear. This, do I do anything? Do I just take it and try and ride it out? And I told you about a first year of the War Report. A woman called in from Texas, and I would think she maybe was in her late 50s, early 60s. And I've been talking about the 5-6 social movements within the education realm. And some of the reform movements and what have you. And this teacher called in and she said she's been teaching a long time. And she has seen so many reform movements come and go. And she asked me, and she was almost crying. She asked me, Dr. Miller, when will this one pass? I could give an answer, but I didn't. Because my answer would have been, this one is unlike all the other reform movements. This one, the Machiavellian agenda, as I have said, was so well thought out, so well implemented. They have steamrolled not just the education enterprise, but so many other sectors of the government, so many other sectors of social life, not only in this country, but across the world. They have done it in lightning speed, like 30, 35 years at that time. And unless some type of huge David versus Goliath ending comes about, it's not going to pass until we're all gone. I didn't want to say that to her. I couldn't do it. But in essence, that's what I'm saying to us now, is that we have a crisis. It's a war. And we have one of the biggest challenges that we've probably ever faced, both in our life and our profession. And it's, you know, what will, I guess I'm stumbling here because I want to say your response be to this crisis. What will our response be to this crisis? Well, will it be a response of, I'm not going to take this. I have it within me to stand up to this crisis and the challenge or challenges it's presenting me? Will I take a stance, even if that stance meaning becoming a leader and raising and pushing a resistance? That's huge, folks. That's really huge, as I've said. So many people, when I was on the road, I think I told you many times, I interviewed over 120 people, closer to 130, 140 people, and mostly women, But there were men who broke down and cried because reliving some of the experiences that they were going through in the classroom and how they were being threatened, how they were being punished for even thinking about, let alone trying to act in any type of nonconformist way. And that fear is very powerful, as you already know, and that fear is something most people, to become a leader, will have to overcome. I am totally one who's aware of this, even though I may be preaching that you're going to have to, I don't want to say, you know, suck it up because it's going to maybe be considered rude, but you have to deal with it. And that's going back to what I keep saying, because I guess my message here for the day is we have to reimagine ourselves as teacher and our role in society. And that if we don't do that, most of us don't stand a chance of becoming a leader. And when I say leader, I mean teachers. You already are a leader. You're a leader in your classroom. At least you used to be before scripted curriculums came in and before high-stakes testing and before VAM came in. You were allowed to be creative. You were allowed to be a leader, leading in your classroom. So leadership really isn't something that's foreign to you, but it's becoming a different type of leader that I'm advocating for than what you were trained to be and what you socialized to be throughout your childhood, your young adulthood, adolescence, however you want to say it, your college, your teacher training, and then the years that you spent in the classroom. You know what I'm talking about in terms of that. Yes, you are a leader, but now you must make the decision whether or not you could become a different type of leader than in the past. What I'm also trying to put out here is that I'm issuing basically that dare again. I'm issuing a call to action. I'm issuing a call for action. I'm saying you have to be bold. You have to be passionate. Because it's with that passion, of course, whether you call it passion for survival or yourself, survival for your profession, survival for what you wanted to be maybe all your life, and now that passion for whatever that teaching is being threatened. So I'm, in a way, I'm saying is you have to be passionate versus dispassionate. You have to be, and I know this is going to sound really funny coming from me, you know, optimistic versus being pessimistic. And I've always said that I see myself not as an optimist, but not as a pessimist, but as a realist. You have to be someone who can engage or be part of a group that can engage in shrewd planning. And I've said this before, I'm developing our own Machiavellian agenda to go up against their Machiavellian agenda. The new teacher, you're going to have to be willing to work your ass off in this war. And when I also say leader, I'm saying not just a leader in the classroom, not just a leader in your school, but being a leader in your school community, being a leader in your own community. I'm saying being a person who can follow, recognize a good, strong leader and follow that. That could be part of becoming a leader. I'm also talking about a person who become a leader, put his or herself in that position. It's like what I said before, long, long, long time ago, back in the mid-70s, I came up with a definition of a pioneer. And this new teacher that I'm talking about sort of like fits my definition of a pioneer. And the definition of a pioneer, you can always tell a pioneer because that's the person with all the arrows in his or her back. Because you're out there, you're up front, and people will see you, target you. And yes, you could become that person that has the target on your back, on your chest. And that's kind of bold to be able to do that. And especially if you're making a transition to become or becoming a leader. A leader also is a person who can train others to be leaders. Train other teachers. Train parents. Other community people. And where possible, train your students to become future leaders. This is all part of a leader helping to create, in our case, a social movement, becoming a mover, shaker, and creating a movement, sustaining a movement, and moving the movement ever closer and closer and closer to achieving the movement objective. You know, leadership isn't a piece of cake, and I'm in no way saying that it's a piece of cake. It's vitally necessary, but it's not easy, and I don't want to give the impression that I'm trying to put out this call for action and not being aware of what it is I'm calling us to action for. Because you're going to have to be able to, you know, be willing to fight, to implement whatever it is that we want to do. In our case, we're talking about, at least put it this way, in my case, I'm talking about implementing change, implementing educational, social, political, economic change, all the things that we talk about under the rubric of social justice not for a few, but for all. That's big. Being a leader, as I said, is also joining, starting a social action group or groups, participating in said groups. And here's where you put yourself on the line. Protesting, demonstrations, going to City Hall, going to the Capitol, visiting politicians or policymakers, confronting legislators, becoming a legislative advocate, writing, you know, just not just posting on Facebook, but op-ed, books, you know, starting your own blog or the group's blog, but your writings, that's a form of social action and definitely a form of leadership. And Diane Ravitch, she's gained her status as, quote, a leader through her writings. You know this, her books, her blog. Not through protesting, not through demonstrating, not through becoming a vocal stand-up advocate for social justice, educational justice. She does it primarily, and this is my view, through her writings. You can do the same thing. Okay. Organizing communities or community becoming a community organizer. Getting people into civic engagement. Running fellow teachers and yourself for local, state, national office, especially retired teachers. Getting them on school boards. Getting them into your state assembly or senate. Getting them into Congress or yourself. Willing to put your activist teacher self on hold and run for a public office so that you can hopefully influence public policy. That's now that latter where, you know, people would say, you know, the last thing I ever want to be was a politician. And I agree with you. And certainly for myself, I always say I'm unelectable as a politician because I tell people what they don't want to hear. And you don't get elected telling the truth and telling people what they don't want to hear. And also lying to people and all this stuff that I won't do. And so I'm unelectable, so I'm not worried about that. But you as teachers, and I push this a million times, and especially our retired teachers who don't have to worry about losing their jobs and who don't have to worry about being put in a rubber room or a teacher jail. You as a teacher leader now can recruit our retired teachers, get them to consider becoming the activist, the advocate for us. Get them elected to your school board. Get them elected to your state legislature where they can really, really have a shot at influencing ed policy. And not just ed policy. I'm talking about being a leader for social justice, which deals with poverty, deals with health care issues, deal with violence. It deals with clean water, clean air. You could be in that position. And that's really kind of like the high level of being a leader. And in our case, get in there and challenge high-stakes testing, challenge scripted curriculum, challenge the privatization of public education. There is just so much one can do when one takes on that mantle of leader. Let me give you an example as we're running close to the end of time. When I was on a road trip, I met, as I said, a lot of teachers who were fearful of even participating in the project to have bad repercussions for them. But I also met a couple of teachers, one in the Midwest who sort of fits my definition of and description of the new social justice teacher for the 21st century. Then I met one someplace else, and I don't want to use these people's names, but the second one that I met, that person fits perfectly my call for a new social justice teacher for the 21st century. I'm talking about a person who 3 years ago was not an activist, didn't participate in demonstration, protests, and going to meetings and rallies, going to city hall, going to school board meetings, going to the state capitol to engage politicians, and et cetera. No, this person was a person who, until the person's school was closed because of, quote, the Lord's test scores, failing schools, a person who was considered an outstanding teacher for more than a dozen years, was all of a sudden hit with need improvement or inefficient. That the person did a change, did almost about face, became all those things that I mentioned, became such an activist, advocate, to joining the various groups, getting the training, doing the self-introspection, that the person in their community is, when you want, if you go to the old saying, when you go to the dictionary or the encyclopedia and you look up 21st century social justice teacher, that person's picture, bio, would be there. You're talking about a transformation. Person 3 years ago didn't want to do and didn't do any of these things. But when this incident of losing a position at a school that the person loved teaching in, and a community that the person loved teaching in, was taken away, that changed everything for this person. And in 3 years, the person is an undisputed social justice leader in the community, in the city, and would you believe it, in the state, and across country. The person is recognized, Facebook to Instagram, you name it, as a leader, a teacher leader, and has influence, even has power, that others who have power, others who have influence, that gravitated to this person, in a position to actually try and challenge powerful individuals and policies. The person is also a parent. And if you ever want to find a perfect example of what I've been talking about, and I have tremendous appreciation for and respect for, this person is it. We need thousands more like this teacher. Hell, if we had 10,000 more like this person, who can now galvanize a whole community around electing school board members, galvanizing people to that can elect state assembly, state senate, galvanize people who can have influence on a mayor, city council, and all the other powerful people in the community, in the city, and now having a state reach. 3 years ago, damn near didn't exist. And now, the person would be my social justice teacher of the year and of the decade. I hope I didn't ramble too much here. Thing that I'm saying is that teachers, public teachers, as public intellectual, as social engineers, we need to grow our own future social leaders. We need to get our teachers involved in bringing about social change through teaching, through rebellion. We need to reimagine ourselves as superheroes, and don't laugh at me, as superheroes. We also need to see ourselves as servant leaders, as transformational leaders. We have the potential, people. We've been doing it in a form of it all of our careers. We need to recognize that and let that person come to the forefront of who we are and how we teach. And with that, before they yank me, I will say have a good rest of Memorial Day weekend holiday, and see you next week. Thanks, everyone.
Join us again next time as we explore and become aware of the most pressing problem of our time, education, corporate America, and their unholy alliance.